ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अथो ह्यान्योन्यम् आत्मानं भ्रमक्षत्रं सरक्षतः रक्षति स्म व्ययो देवा स यस्सद् असद् आत्मकः। अथो ह्यान्योन्यम् आत्मानं भ्रमक्षत्रं च रक्षतः रक्षति स्म व्ययो देवा स यस्सद् असद् आत्मकः।
That is why the Brahmins and Kshatriyas protect each other as well as themselves and the Lord Himself, who is both the cause and effect and as yet immutable, protects them through each other. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The entire social structure of varna and ashram is a cooperative system meant to uplift all to the highest platform of spiritual realization. The Brahmins are intended to be protected by the Kshatriyas, and the Kshatriyas are intended to be enlightened by the Brahmins. When the Brahmins and Kshatriyas cooperate nicely, the other subordinate divisions, the Vaishyas or mercantile people, and the Shudras or laborer class, automatically flourish. The entire elaborate system of Vedic society was therefore based on the importance of the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. The Lord is the real protector, but He is unattached to the affairs of protection. He creates Brahmins for the protection of the Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas for the protection of the Brahmins. He remains aloof from all activities. Therefore, He is called Nirvikar, without activity. He has nothing to do. He is so great that He does not perform action personally, but His energies act. The Brahmins and Kshatriyas and anything that we see are different energies acting upon one another. Although individual souls are all different, the super self or super soul is the supreme personality of Godhead. Individually, one's self may differ from others in certain qualities and may engage in different activities, such as those of a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya. But when there is complete cooperation among different individual souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul Paramatma, being one in every individual soul, is pleased and gives them all protection. As stated before, the Brahmins are produced from the mouth of the Lord, and the Kshatriyas are produced from the chest or arms of the Lord. If the different castes or social sections, although apparently differently occupied in different activities, nevertheless act in full cooperation, then the Lord is pleased. This is the idea of the institution of four varnas and four ashrams. If the members of different ashrams and varnas cooperate fully in Krishna consciousness, then society is well protected by the Lord without doubt. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that the Lord is the proprietor of all different bodies. The individual soul is the proprietor of his individual body, but the Lord clearly states, "My dear Bharat, you must know that I am also Kshatragya." Kshatragya means the knower or proprietor of the body. The individual soul is the proprietor of the individual body, but the super soul, the personality of Godhead Krishna, is the proprietor of all bodies everywhere. He is the proprietor not only of human bodies, but of birds, beasts, and all other entities, not only on this planet, but on other planets also. He is the supreme proprietor. Therefore, he does not become divided by protecting the different individual souls. He remains one and the same. That the sun appears on top of everyone's head when at the meridian does not imply that the sun becomes divided. One man thinks that the sun is on his head only, whereas 5,000 miles away another man is thinking that the sun is only on his head. Similarly, the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, is one, but he appears to individually oversee each individual soul. This does not mean that the individual soul and the super soul are one. They are one in quality as spirit soul, but the individual soul and super soul are different. Today we are reading from Canto 3, Chapter 22, entitled The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, Text Number 4. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Chaturvana Mayastristam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. That the Varnashram system is created by the Lord Himself. Aham Bija Pratapita. He is the Supreme Father of all living beings. He is the ultimate protector. He is the life of life. Every living entity is the beloved child of the Lord. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. We are all coming from Krishna. Every living entity has a personality eternally that is meant for the specific purpose of a loving relationship with Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that all of the wealth, opulence, and property within an entire universal creation is not as dear to him, is not as valuable to him as a single devotee. Why? How many devotees are there? Every living entity is a devotee. Incalculable. It's not possible to calculate the number of living entities. Just in the city of Bombay, there's no number that could possibly indicate how many living entities are here. What to speak in the cosmic manifestation, which is only a fraction of the population of this, all the spiritual planets in the spiritual sky. unlimited living entities. Now that is the greatness of Krishna that makes him Vibhu, Bhagavan, unlimited. Because how many people can we show special attention to? How many people could we really love in a very personal way? Prime Minister may have some conception of love of humanity, or President, and he may have so many people doing all the work, but how many people can we actually personally love and reciprocate with? In previous times, a man would sometimes have many wives. Krishna had 16,108 wives, which is just a very slight manifestation of what he could do. And each wife was fully satisfied. When he came back from the Sudharma assembly house, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms and built 16,108 beautiful palaces, and every wife was thinking, he's with me, because he was with her. But we have seen in this world, if a man has two or three wives, chaos. Because one wife is always thinking why he's paying more attention to the other wife. What to speak of children? Children become envious of each other because the father is giving more attention to them, or the mother is doing the same. Everyone is insecure and trying to get the attention of the parent. And if a person's an only child, they get so much attention, they become spoiled often. There's big problems in this world. But Krishna is so powerful. He's so great. In the spiritual world, unlimited children he has. And everyone is perfectly satisfied by the personal attention he's giving them. And every living entity within this material existence, countless, he's expanded as the Paramatma. The Paramatma is one person. But being in every living being's heart, he's your own. Yes, it's really like that. You have your own little part, you have your own Paramatma. It's yours. And he never leaves you. Even when you die, that same Paramatma goes with you. Birth after birth after birth. Even the little insect, even these mosquitoes, they have their own little individual Paramatma that's just right next to them, ready to give them guidance anytime they turn, giving them direction according to their consciousness, according to their independent will. Yes? According to their karmas. This is Krishna, personally, individually. Every living being has their own individual personal Paramatma sitting next to the Jivatma. But they're not different Paramatmas. In one sense, they are, because they're physically, that Paramatma is in your heart. It's not just some all-pervading energy watching. Paramatma's right there. And there's also an all-pervading energy watching. Everything. You're being watched from within and without, from up, from behind and in front, from all sides, from below. The Lord is watching you. You can't escape. But as Paramatma, how merciful, personally, right there with you, same person, he simultaneously, in everyone's heart, he knows your past, your present, your future. He knows everything you're doing, everything you're saying, and he loves you, supremely loves you. In this way, the Paramatma exists. That is love. That is the omnipotency of the Absolute. That is Krishna, the all-attractive. And as the Father, he may put us through some punishments through the energies of material nature, but mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. He is the ultimate controller of material nature. He is Ishvara Parama Krishna. It's very interesting how Lord Brahma, who happens to be the creator on a secondary level of the entire universe, The human intelligence cannot fathom the universe. Not possible. It's like an ant trying to fathom the extent of Maharashtra. They may make their telescopes and they may have their scientific theories, but how much can they really understand Maharashtra? Similarly, a human being cannot understand the extent of the universe by their empiric investigations, because we're seeing through imperfect eyes. The reaches of the universe are unbelievable. The scale of this universe is incredible. And it's only like a tiny little mustard seed in an ocean of mustard seeds compared to other universes. Krishna is so wonderful. But yet, Krishna, still, he can give such personal attention to everyone. He's controlling existence. Lord Brahma knows this universe perfectly. He's the only person, even the demigods do not know the extent of the universe. Only Brahma does. And in his prayers to Krishna, the first words out of his mouth is Ishwara Parama Krishna. Now for Lord Brahma, this is a very, very impressive quality of the Lord, because he knows how this universe works. He is the controller of all controllers. He is the supreme controller of everything that exists. That is Krishna. And yet why does he control? Krishna's Rasa Raj. He's Rasa Bihari. The only reason Krishna does anything is ultimately to facilitate the living entity to experience the highest bliss of intimate love with him and through him with each other. That's all. There's no other purpose of existence, material or spiritual, except to love God. And all the karma and all the sufferings, padam padam yadvi padam natesham, within this world, dukkha layam ashashvatam, abram abhuvanaloka punar avartanojana, mamu pechatu kondeya punar janma navidyate, from highest planet to the lowest, all places of misery. Everything's miserable because it's temporary. Danger at every step. Why did he create it like this? In his own supreme genius, this is all existing only for one purpose, ultimately. You may say to punish, but what is the purpose of punishment? To facilitate perfect ecstatic love. That's all. There's no other reason behind anything that exists except Krishna's facilitating the perfect opportunity to learn how to love him, to bring us back to his eternal abode of ecstatic devotional service. That's all. Therefore, Bhagavatam declares, Atapum bed vijastrestas varanashrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadira haritoshanam. Krishna has personally created this varanashram system. In fact, sometimes Prabhupada said that according to the Vedas, the name of our religion is not Hinduism. Hinduism does not exist in the Vedic literatures, the particular word. Srila Prabhupada explained it was a name given by the Islamic people on the other side of the Sindhu River. Hindus. But Prabhupada said the actual name, according to Vedas, is Varnashram Dharma or Sanatan Dharma. Varnashram Dharma and Sanatan Dharma are inseparable. Varnashram Dharma means the eternal occupation of the living entity being expressed through one's duties within this world. And what is our eternal occupational duty? It is to please Krishna. That's all. Whether you're living in Vaikuntha or Goloka, the only purpose of existence is to please Krishna. Krishna is the root. He's the source. He's the ultimate. When we please Krishna, we are satisfied. Srila Prabhupada gives example. When you look in the mirror, if you do nice things to your face, then you look nice in the reflection. But if you're doing all sorts of putting makeup on the reflection, it doesn't really give any satisfaction. This whole material cosmic manifestation is only a reflection of Krishna. We're trying to find happiness by putting so much of our energy into serving the reflection. But the source of the reflection is Krishna. And according to the three modes of material natures, the mirror is bent in various ways. You may have seen, though, in carnivals and like that, they have those strange mirrors where you look fat and you look thin and you look weird in so many ways. Yes, it's just your reflection. But who are you? If you go to a real mirror, you kind of see what you look like. It's a reflection. But we're serving all these weird mirrors. We're not even serving clear mirrors. We're serving all these strange mirrors that we're looking like a frog or a snail or a snake or a duck or a human. It's really not much difference as far as body. The difference between a human and a lower species is a human has the inner capacity of consciousness to realize the soul. But as far as physical bodies goes, what's the difference between being a reptile and a human? Just different coverings, different strange, weird mirrors that we're just looking and seeing a perverted reflection. But the purpose is to serve Krishna. And Krishna, out of his love, his kindness, created this Varnashram Dharma. And what is Varnashram Dharma? It's because everyone in this human civilization has a particular and unique karmic background. And because of that, we have different inclinations and different abilities and different ways of seeing things. So Krishna, who has created everything, has very nicely divided all the different karmas of the whole human society into basic four divisions. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And giving duties. This is what you're supposed to do according to your designation. And previously, there wasn't a competition between designations because what your inclination is and what your capacity as far as doing work is obvious. In this particular sector of Kali Yuga, people think things are very mixed up. Very, very mixed up. They consider only by their birth whether they're Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And outside of India, they don't even have any conception of any of them. But Krishna says by one's qualities and by one's activities. One is given a particular designation, and with that designation comes duties. The work you're supposed to do for the whole society and the qualities you're supposed to develop and live by personally. And it's all only for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. If Krishna is pleased, your life is successful. If Krishna is not pleased, your life is a miserable waste. Garga Muni has explained, Prabhupada quotes him often, that it's in Garga Samhita actually. He explains that one who takes the human birth and dies without realizing Krishna is a miserly person who has wasted his or her life. So Krishna loves every living being. And what will please Krishna, whoever we are? Cooperation. To live for the welfare of others. That is what Prabhupada is emphasizing here in this verse. And that is what Manu is describing. He's one of the Mahajans. He understands Krishna very perfectly. He has had the personal darshan of Krishna. He's taking direct instructions from Krishna. That is Swayambhuva Manu. And he is a Kshatriya. The purpose of the Kshatriyas is to protect the Brahmins. The purpose of the Brahmins is to protect the Kshatriyas. The purpose of their cooperative effort is to protect the entire society on behalf of Krishna. Krishna gives them the direction, the inspiration, and the strength to protect each other and to protect the whole society. But if they separate themselves from Krishna, from his direction, from his mercy, they cannot even protect themselves. What to speak of anyone else? Arjuna was told by Krishna to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. He did not want to. Why? Because Krishna wanted to protect the whole human society. Duryodhana was a rogue. He was a thief. His example and his activities was misleading the public. He was exploiting the innocent. So it was for the sake of the whole humanity that Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita and encouraged Arjuna. You are my representative of a Kshatriya. You must take the blessings of all the Brahmins and live by their rule and enforce it within society. Actually, Bhagavad Gita and the battle of Kurukshetra was for all humanity for all time to come. To set the example, Arjuna was a selfless servant. Unconditional service. Unconditional means no ego, nothing in it for me. That's to the degree devotees are unconditional, we can actually cooperate from the platform of the heart. Prabhupada condemned the League of Nations and the United Nations. They all have their separate egos. They all have their separate agendas. And their cooperation, but what is their cooperation? It's very loose. It's very fragile. And it's very superficial. Because they're all cooperating because it's to their egoistic personal agenda's interest. Yes? But Srimad Bhagavatam teaches only one thing. It's the only subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, essentially. Unmotivated, uninterrupted, unconditional, devotional service. And herein it is described in the pages of Bhagavatam. The Lord is most pleased when we cooperate with each other, when we live for each other. It was one of Srila Prabhupada's last instructions. You will show your love for me by how you cooperate with each other to spread Krishna consciousness. Very difficult. To cooperate in an age of quarrel and hypocrisy, very difficult. Srila Prabhupada, in one very beautiful purport I was just reading 2 days back, he explains that the holy name is the only thing that can purify our heart in this age of Kali. The holy name is the only way to attain love of God. But you have to chant the holy names without offenses. If you're chanting with offenses, you may chant for many, many, many births and never see Krishna, never taste the love of Krishna. We must avoid offenses. And Prabhupada explained, there's only one way to avoid offenses in this age of Kali. When we have so many inclinations, we must take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And then Prabhupada explains, what does it mean to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda? It means to follow their instruction, to
trinarapi sunichena taror ibasahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari.
Humility like grass, tolerance like tree, respect to others without desire for false prestige. That is the order of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We're taking shelter of them to the degree we follow this instruction, Prabhupada explains in this beautiful purport. Then we could chant the name of the Lord offenselessly and access the divine potencies of Krishna in his name, Srimati Radha in her name. So in order for there to be real cooperation, every devotee has to take this responsibility, whether you're a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or Shudra or whatever it may be. We all have this responsibility because our cooperation, our selfless service to each other to try to share Krishna and Krishna's mission with each other is what pleases Guru and pleases Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, our life is perfect, and Krishna is so pleased that he's now about to appear in his most munificent, beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Rasbihari. Radha Rasbihari Dev Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanandi. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much.